Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you struggle with getting too many laughs? Always making people entertained? Getting jokes done? Being funny? Well, if you're like me, then you might have suffered from all these problems in the past. But now, there's an easy answer. I've just completed my first course in how to be less funny. And let me tell you, it's changed my life. So why don't you follow in my footsteps and learn how to be much less funny, and future editions of Park Date will demonstrate this by being much less funny. So look at our website for full details of this course and sign up now for the low price of $29.90, $19.90, $19.95. Hello, hello. Welcome to Park Date. A couple of apologies. First of all, we were supposed to run the Mark Thomas interview at the end of 2022 so we could tie in with Mark's tour dates, but we missed that. Sorry, Mark, and sorry, Bex. But we're going to run it today. Mark Thomas, of course, famous for the Mark Thomas comedy product and the Mark Thomas product. Two of my favourite Channel 4 TV shows when I was growing up. They were brilliant. Mark's also done shows like Bravo Figaro and 100 Small Acts of Dissent, and no doubt will be on tour again soon in 2023, so check out his website, which is markthomasinfo.co.uk, and you can see all the dates when they appear on there. Thank you so much, Mark. We talked in Streatham Cemetery. And that's what you're going to hear in a minute. I also have to apologise for never reading out the reviews because I've had complaints. So let's read out some reviews. Andre DLM. I'm trying to pretend I don't know. Let's just say, here's a review from somebody. It says, Chris keeps the interviews relaxed and light whilst moving at good pace. Would definitely recommend. Also, could easily see this as an Anthony Bourdain style show on Netflix. Netflix, take notes. BookGal94 says, such a relaxing listen. Love anything that encourages people to stop and take a closer look at their surroundings. Jellybean Men says, this show is really funny. Unscripted, unedited conversations. Well, some of it's scripted and some of it's supposed to be edited, but anyway, definitely one of the more quirky interview podcasts out there. Anonymous Yogi says, tremendous, funny, entertaining, and insightful. Highly recommended. Rebecca Likes Parks, can't wait to hear the sketches and the interviews. Totally Mexico 333 says, I once awoke in a field in Warwickshire to find my leg being pecked by an angry ostrich. All my money and cash cards had vanished. I was so sunburned and I had to walk home in my leather gimp outfit. I can't even read this one. But listening to this podcast made that experience look like a fortnight in Crete. Charming. Keep your reviews coming. The best review is going to win a prize. I'm going to deliver personally some booby prizes to all these people, but they'll be good prizes if you leave reviews. Don't forget the socials at Park Date Podcast, and do enjoy this episode with the brilliant Mark Thomas.
Hello,
welcome to Streatham Cemetery in Tooting, South London. I'm here with Mark Thomas. Mark, thank you for joining me today.
That's an absolute pleasure. This is one of the most, it's one of the most beautiful little reflective, quiet places. I come here to run. This is where I go running.
This is your running track.
So because what happens is I run, I get up to about 7K, then have an injury, and then stop, and then can't do it, and then have to go back to the beginning to the couch to 5K, which is a lot of huffing, puffing, spitting, and you know, all of that. So actually, it's quite nice to do it in a place where, there aren't that many people. Two, the majority of them are dead. Three, it's actually a quiet little place, and it's away from the roads.
Yeah.
And it's very beautiful. It is. I always love the amount of yew trees that are around here. And also, there's some beautiful pines, there's some lovely, you've got holly, you get all sorts.
Yeah, you can smell it in the air, can't you, though?
It's a beautiful little place. And what you get what I love about this cemetery, and indeed the one over in Lambeth, which is, I actually live between the two cemeteries and a hospital, so I'm sorted. But they have, what I love is they have very distinct areas.
Yeah.
So, and I love this as well, what we're walking up to, which is a war grave. And you can see the War Grave Commission have actually kind of put a new tombstone here. There's loads of them here.
Right. And there's tombs all around us and graves all around us. And here's a more recent one.
This one, this is from a petty officer.
Pauline Mary Gompers.
Who died in 1945, before the end of the war, and aged 23.
So young.
You know, that is an amazing thing. There's also, if you go just around the other side, there's all the firefighters who died during the Blitz. Which is a very sort of very moving,
poignant, yeah,
very poignant and moving thing. What I love is you sometimes get all the different mourners who come here. Do you know what I mean? All the different people who've come to tend to graves as well. Some of them are in a bit of disrepair, you know. But sometimes you get families and they come out and there's a big, and they'll have a picnic in the summer. Do you know what I mean? And I rather like that.
Yeah.
That you have a picnic. Around a grave,
yeah,
and remember, so and come together as a family and
celebrate a life.
Yeah,
you want to be careful of the running, by the way, Mark. You're talking to a former runner. I had to give up because I completely busted my knee.
Ow.
So you need to do those stretches.
I do the stretches. Yeah. It's just one day I decided to do. I would jump. From 6K, taking a real sort of quiet plod to, I'd try and do a speedy 7.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, my ankle was kind of like, okay, let's not.
Yeah.
What I love as well is in Tooting. So you get all these paths, there's a big circuit, but for running, this is perfect. I love all the fact we've got all the conkers coming down and the squirrels just going nuts.
Exactly, squirrels love the conkers.
If you go up here, right, because this crisscrosses, there's loads of paths. That crisscross the entire cemetery. So actually, as a runner, you can time your routes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can time it. If you know the area, you know which route to run up, and you go, right, I can make it back to the gate in time for the run to finish.
Yeah.
It's also rather... And the great thing about a cemetery is it's... I remember going round... you know, looking for names when the kids were about to be born.
Yeah.
You're sort of walking around cemeteries. Think we're going at Eunice. No.
Yeah.
You know.
Old-timey names, yeah.
Yeah. There's in Lambeth Cemetery, which is actually sort of just opposite us on the other side of the flats, one of the great music hall comedians is buried. A guy called Dan Leno. Dan Leno was the man who... he's credited... with creating the Panto Dame. He was the greatest Panto Dame. He was also an incredibly popular, funny, musical performer who was sort of top of the bill. So Dan Leno.
Dan Leno in Lambeth Cemetery, yeah.
And I've always sort of said that when I go, scatter my ashes on Dan Leno's grave.
That's where you're going to go. Perfect place. But I think cemeteries are actually really interesting places. I love to go to them. Abney Cemetery in Stoke Newington. I don't know if you've been to that one. Near where I live is really, really interesting.
Let's
as well.
Take you up this way.
Should we go up this way?
What I think is also, you know, I'm kind of, I like the disarray of the tombstones.
Mm.
There's something that sort of mimics the fragility of human existence.
There's a few that have, kind of toppled over and...
Yeah, well, there's, you know, headless states. Angels, which normally would evoke something of horror.
Yeah.
But in a graveyard, they're kind of, oh, that's fair enough. There's, I want to try and find it, because there's a lovely loop all the way up and back.
Should we do that one?
What I also love is the fact that you get, especially in Lambeth Cemetery, you get areas. So there's a kind of Muslim area,
mm-hmm.
There's a Hindu area, there's a Jewish area, there's a Tamil area.
Right.
And it's really, and sometimes you go up there and they've got all the Tamil Tigers flags, which are actually illegal to fly. They're a prescribed organisation. And but the Tamil Tigers flags are all up on the cemetery. I love that. Don't tell Lambeth, they'll go nuts.
Right.
But I really enjoy the sort of fact that actually even...
Yeah.
Let's have a look at this one here.
What's this one over here?
This is so this one, this person here, this is a war grave from 1920.
Corporal E. Hall.
You know, it's a very, they always kind of, there's something really interesting about
there's
something.
It's so interesting to read the tombstones as well, isn't it? And to see the sometimes we see families buried together, that kind of thing, and it's obviously,
but there's also this, just for, you know, here you are in South London.
Mm.
You know, this is relatively quiet.
Yeah.
We've got the helicopter. I think this great thing about this place is the helicopter's going to land on the helicopter pad for St. George's.
Right? Yeah,
and I can see it from my back window. I love it.
Yeah.
For me, there is no greater sort of like symbol, if you like, for the lengths that we'll go to try and look after each other than a helicopter coming into land, because you know that there's a paramedic team, there's an ambulance, there's a police, there's a whole group of people, there's all that team on the hospital who are on the helicopter, then all the staff ready to go, they're going all the surgeons, all the people. You know, I once witnessed when I did a show about the NHS, I was embedded for a month at St Mary's Hospital in Paddington, and I spent a night on the major trauma unit. So there's four major trauma units in London. And it's where you go to if you've been in a major terrorist incident or a car crash or stabbed or shot. And I thought I was going there for a tour around. I accidentally sort of stayed the night till the early morning, you know. And
well, they didn't have you operating on people, did they?
No. But it was quite dramatic.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And there was a person who came in who was who had gone through a first floor story window. Mm. They'd gone through a window, they're pissed. And they, you see that one of the emergency, it's quite a small space, and one of the emergency procedures is where you make it, it's a laparotomy, you make these cuts in the side to get rid of the blood that's building up from the eternal bleeding. So you just go, and then CPR begins, and it's like,
yeah, so intense. Full
on. And I they all started moving them up to the operating theatre because they were going to operate on them. And it was kind of like, Mark, follow me. And I just followed this guy who was leading the team and ran up there with the police and all this kind of stuff. Police had to wait outside. They had to be there because, you know, didn't know whether there was sort of, it was a murder or anything like that. And the person died on the table. It was really quite sort of dramatic. And what was really moving was the fact there must have been a minimum of 35 people trying to save this person's life.
Yeah.
Giving that person the best chance.
Exactly.
And so it was something very moving about seeing, whenever you see one of those things,
yeah,
I always kind of think of that.
It's so true, Mark, exactly. The lengths we go to, and surely the NHS is our proudest achievement, really, isn't it, as a country?
It's got to be one of them. It's got to be one of them.
Social housing and the NHS.
Now, look, here you've got, I think this, I'm right in remembering, this is the fire brigade.
Right.
This is all the...
from the Second World War.
Have I got this right?
Let's have a look. So there's a row of...
So there's two rows here.
Two rows, yeah.
These people, so you've got people from the Air Force, you've got people from the... now, where are we? So you've got people from all sorts. This isn't the fire brigade bit, but I will try and find that for you.
Yeah, these are military
graves.
These are very new, so people...
Well, the War Graves Commission actually sort of come up and they try and sort of make sure that the graves are well kept.
Yeah.
So there are some relatively new ones, despite the fact that this person here died in 1941.
Very well cared for.
There's something very beautiful about them, really. I think the thing about World War I and World War II is you're looking at conscripts.
Yeah.
So you're looking at people who have been forced to join and have sort of... They didn't really have an option in this.
Yeah.
And there's something rather moving about that. Here we go.
This is it, isn't it?
This is the fire brigade. So you've got...
Auxiliary Fire Service. Now, I've never seen this before.
So you've got a whole row. What is it? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 graves here. And you've got, you see, they died. These people here, they all died on the same incident.
So they died on an incident on the 16th of November.
And you can see all the way up to here, you've got people who died on the 6th. Those two died on the same incident. They died on the same incident.
6th of November.
You've got six people here who died on the same incident. You've got three here. It's quite... I mean, that's a blot, do you know what I mean? There's quite a moving thing that these are firefighters who
that's
have gone
That's very powerful.
To.
That's right at the start of the Blitz, November 1940, and D.E. Alves just 18. So pretty young.
And you've
young,
got Marjorie Winifred Davis.
Yes, Marjorie.
You know, Winifred so you've got these firefighters.
Firewomen.
Who's died, and you've got a fireman. She's buried. So you've got firewoman Marjorie Davis, who's buried with a fireman... S.G. Duvergier. You know, that's quite an amazing thing.
It is, isn't it? The Auxiliary Fire Service. Yeah, I've not seen that in a graveyard before. It's good to see so many people's lives celebrated in different ways.
Yeah, but you've also got... I mean, this is just the best place to run in because you've got this nice gradual incline. Right. But also, if you're not quite up to it, you can nip across.
you can do a little cut through. Yeah.
And during the lockdown, I used to.
Were you in here a lot doing your?
Yeah, yeah. I do it
government
here.
Government allowed exercise.
I would also meet my kids for tea.
Yeah.
I would meet my kids for socially distanced, and bring thermoses full of.
That's
you know,
a good idea, isn't it?
Look at that. That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a parakeet. That as you know, the rumour was that parakeet started at Richmond.
Right.
Right, at Richmond Park.
I've heard so many rumours about where they came from,
Well, my favourite one is that Jimi Hendrix released the parakeet, right?
Let's believe that one. That's the best story.
I mean, that's the one that I love to believe, that Jimi Hendrix released the parakeet.
All related to
But
Jimi
what's
Hendrix.
Amazing is they've just come across South London. They're just absolutely everywhere.
They are, aren't
they? They're such noisy buggers, but they're very colourful.
They are.
And I love the fact that whenever me and my kids, you know the way you get little kind of family things. Whenever we see
family in jokes,
we see the parakeets and go, Jimmy.
Right, I think I might have to steal that. So next time anyone sees a parakeet, that's what we have to say,
Jimmy, and shake your fist to the sky.
Exactly.
Let's come and have a sit down here because it's quite a nice little place to.
Let's do that.
Breather.
Yeah, and there's a lot of benches as well, isn't there? So you can kind of contemplate. I always like, I don't know about you, Mark, you know when people have their inscriptions on benches as well in regular parks? I always think that's quite a nice...
I like that. I love the fact as well that when there's the League of Supervillain Artists in Liverpool, and when the government introduced the thing, which was a public... was it public... it was a PC, PSPC. It was the Public Space Protection Order. That's right, PSPO. And what it meant was councils could introduce laws that would make things that were legal illegal without having to go through Parliament. So they would say things like sleeping in this area is illegal, and so you'd have an on-spot 50 quid fine. So homeless people obviously have 50 quid on them. So you would then have to go to court. And you could end up with £1,000 fine.
Yeah.
You know, which is ridiculous. Anyway, they banned one in Chester, they banned people sleeping or sitting down in the centre.
Right.
So people went around with and put those little brass plaques on benches going, it is illegal to sit here.
Oh.
You know, and also, and it was, you know, it was like a public declaration of piss taking.
Yeah.
There's something great about the way that. Those public monuments, public memorials. There's a train station in, I think it's Switzerland, and it had a plaque there, and it was a band, I think the band Yellow.
Right.
The lead singer was going to be at this plaque on midnight at such and such a date. So it didn't actually commemorate something that had happened. It just said, he's going to be here. And I loved that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That little subversive twist on it. I always like those things. And of course, we've got... What is great about South London as well is you've got... If you go around this graveyard, you go around other graveyards, you go around the River Wandle, which is just not far away. And in fact, you go around George's, St. George's, you walk around it, there's loads of fruit trees.
Right.
You can
forage. Help yourself.
Yeah. You literally
What's the can. Best fruit you can get off the trees, Mark?
Well,
you
got apples and things. Apples. You can get apples, you can get cherry plums, which are absolutely amazing. Yeah. You can get cherries. There are there's loads of blackberries. Blackberries are sort of like the herpes of the fruit. you can get cherries. There's a couple of cherry trees along the Wandle, which are lovely hazelnut trees. But you can also do things like this. You can forage for horseradish leaves. Horseradish leaves, particularly. I mean, if you pick the root and put it in your garden, just beware because it will spread like wildfire.
Right.
But you can use the leaves, and it's really there's. I found a beautiful recipe from the north of India on the sort of Pakistan-Kashmir border of using horseradish leaves to make saag paneer.
Sounds great.
It is brilliant. It is brilliant.
Well, it sounds like you could do a kind of pop-up supper club in your house with foraged South London food.
I would love to do that.
Yeah,
I would. I think that's a brilliant thing to do. There is also, like, wild garlic. I love using wild garlic.
Because
I was
nice,
touring earlier
garlic
in the
pesto.
Year.
Very nice.
Well, I was touring earlier in the year, and there was loads and loads of what. So we'd go up, we're performing in Crieff, which is in Scotland, which is just before the Highlands start. And I went running, I said to the bloke, is there a good route? He goes, I'll take you to a good route. Fortunately, the guy putting on the gig ran the local Harriers.
Right.
So he was able to show me. And we went running along this river. It was just covered in wild garlic. So I just picked bags of the fucking stuff. The dressing room stank. The whole place, everything stank.
Well, your suitcase was just full on the train back.
Yeah. But the great thing is to cook it fresh. Yeah. Just to cook it. Wild garlic pesto, I'm sure, is lovely. But I'm just a big fan of get it, cook it in summit, or put it in summit and just eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. There's a park in Highbury Fields, where people grow the wild garlic, and then they kind of put a basket of it with a little sign saying, please take the wild garlic. It's very, very nice. When you see things like that, it kind of warms your heart.
It does warm the cockles of your heart.
You see
that
we
have a community.
Right.
Well, the community is absolutely intrinsic to these public spaces. Community, you know, the community are here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Whether they want to be or not.
Yeah, they're going to be here.
Yeah.
There's also something, parks, especially in London, I think, are really amazing, beautiful places. Yeah. And they've obviously got history to them. Some of them, if you go to, like Richmond, obviously, has got the deer. It's a deer park. Mm. It was a chase.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the chases come from Norman times. This is when William the Conqueror decided that you couldn't have any land. You shouldn't be. It's all ours. We'll carve it up amongst our mates. And so, you know, you could... The penalties for daring to pick wood in a public space was you know, that was it, you were done.
Yeah, parks are quite radical, aren't they, in a way?
They are, and they actually come from... If you look at... they are radical. And I think you're absolutely right. There's a thing about parks, which is that they're a place for public enjoyment.
Mm.
There is nothing else. There's nothing else... You know, here.
Yeah.
Occasionally there's a bit of betterment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which is always so passionate. Like a bandstand is always... I always get a feeling that a bandstand is just, oh, God, just fuck off. It's like, we shall improve the local community by having a band. You know, it's just... But generally speaking, parks are just about pleasure. They're just about enjoyment.
Yeah, exactly. A non-commercial...
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
As well.
Well, right. yes and no, to greater and lesser degrees. Yeah. Right, you go Battersea Park, right, which was set up as part of the... In fact, one of the reasons that I think Chelsea Bridge was put up, if I remember correctly, it was to allow North London to come over and civilise South London and with their park, you know, and then showed them how to use it properly. These parks are you say they're non-commercialised, but you get, like, the play area in... if you look at somewhere like Battersea Park, there used to be this amazing adventure playground.
Right.
And it used to be, you know, wonderfully dangerous and ramshackle. And then the government, the local authorities cut it down, and they gave it to a private company who now charge.
Oh, really?
So you have to pay to play.
I've never seen that before. Oh, you have to pay to get into a playground.
Yeah. That's cheeky, isn't it? I mean, it's really awful. I think it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I remember the public spaces would also be, you know, parks are kind of like, if you like, the official civic declaration of it. Mm. When I was a kid, if you got to Balham, there was where the Waitrose is now, which is opposite the Hilda Street Market. The market was just like chocker. It was absolutely heaving.
Yeah.
And where the Waitrose is, there used to be an adventure playground, and it was run by some sort of publicly funded social workers and, you know, youth workers. And all I remember about, there's two things I remember about it. One was being allowed to paint the corrugated, we were allowed to paint animals on the corrugated iron outside. And the second thing I remember about it was that they had a big telegraph pole that came out of the ground, and it had a rope with a tire on it, right? So you could swing around it.
Yeah.
But half the telegraph pole was in a massive great crater.
Right.
So you'd run up, you'd launch yourself, and you would swing into this void.
Sounds brilliant.
And it was beautifully terrifying.
Yeah.
And you know, now it's a Waitrose. So there were always these areas.
There's they should have put the tire swing inside the Waitrose. You could have swung round.
It would have been a magnificent thing.
Picked up your artichokes.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been
your venison, and then swung round to the checkout.
And then swung out again. But, you know, those... I think there's a... What I love about these public spaces are the fact not only do you get out, do you see the sky, right? If you look how beautiful this is, and in the distance is the wonderful... the incinerator outside George's. And I always feel quite romantic about it because the red lights go on the top.
Right.
And so when you're walking down from the hill at the top, you can see it from miles away. You can see, and it's like, this is home. Do you know what I mean?
Look for the incinerator.
Yeah. Well, round the back of the incinerator has got some of the best apple trees.
Right.
I'm just letting you know. I'm giving you a couple of clues.
FYI.
The thing about all those parks, I like Richmond Park, which is just amazing. I used to go and I used to do, I did the London to Paris bike ride. So me and my mates used to do that Richmond Park circuit, which is just like you see all the, you know,
yeah,
folks
lots of,
in the
yeah,
Lycra,
people take that very
and
seriously.
That really serious look on their
and
face.
And it's quite a big hill. I've been up that hill.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
That's quite.
There's a couple of inclines which are a little bit huffy and puffy, but there is one nasty little hill, and we just used to go round and round and round, and then you grab a bit of cake and go, put some calories in, start shaking, and go back on.
Yeah.
And you look at all those parks. I have a real sort of fond memory, like Clapham Common, which is where I grew up. I regard that as an emotional map. That's a kind of like a map that I can walk around.
Yeah,
and
so
go, I did this here.
Exactly,
there,
remembering your things so you've done in your youth.
Yeah. I remember. I can show you the first time I probably snogged a girl.
I was literally going to say, did you have your first kiss in the park? Yeah,
yeah, and that was that was there, and then I can from there we go round to the. To the pond, which was always this. I loved the ponds. They always were exciting places because you get bats and stuff out there. You get amazing. You get Clapham Common's got quite a lot of bats actually, and it's very beautiful, especially at summer to go out there. And because if you go out there at summertime at dusk, I'd walk around there. And I'd be sort of huffing and puffing, walking around there. And of course, all the CO2 and all this is coming out of me and all the heat. So all the midges coming in, right? And all the bats come in because of the midges. So I'm like a bat magnet.
Right.
Right. And I love that. I love the way they come in quite close. I love the way that they swoop and everything. It's beautiful. You can see all sorts of stuff that you wouldn't expect to see, whether it's turtles. There are turtles in Clapham Common Pond. Yeah. You know, you've got all the different birds up there. I find the whole place incredibly calming and very exciting. Clapham Common Church, there's the Wilberforce Church, which is the Church of the Holy Trinity, which was where William Wilberforce went, you know, the parliamentary person who is credited with stopping the slave trade. Well, he didn't. And they don't also mention that just down the road was George Hibbert. Just literally 500 yards away is George Hibbert's house. George Hibbert was part of the owners of the West India docks and the slave companies that went alongside it. And he actually became an MP so he could further the interests of the slave trade. And he went to the same church. In fact, he donated money to the church.
Right.
So there's a real curious history because it's always remembered as an abolitionist church. But abolitionism, when you think people get very proud of being an abolitionist, we abolished slavery before America. Well, you know, you can only really start that game if you look at the fact that to abolish something, which is good, you have to have started it. You do actually have to have begun it, which is bad. And actually, people forget that there was a women's movement that sort of like boycotted sugar. There were Quakers. There were the Chartist movement was actually not just fighting for universal suffrage, but the abolition of slavery.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a whole, you know, grassroots mob, if you like, clamouring away.
We don't get taught much about this, do we, Mark?
No, to be honest, we don't, and it's because
this whole radical history of
It is a radical history in one way, but it's also a very commonplace history.
Mm.
Radical history is all around us.
Mm.
You know, it genuinely is all around. You've got AFC Wimbledon, you've got Plough Lane just down there.
Yeah.
Now, 20-odd years ago, Wimbledon Football Club was sold. The owner sold it to property developers.
Indeed, yeah.
Moved it to Milton
MK Keynes. Dons.
Yeah, MK Dons got. But all the people here just went, no, we're not having it.
Exactly, restarted the club.
They formed AFC Wimbledon, built it from nothing. And
now they're back.
I did the first benefit to raise money for the...
But you're a Wimbledon fan, Mark.
I did the first benefit.
Yeah.
And I've sort of followed AFC Wimbledon at a distance. And when they put the new stadium up, I'm 8 minutes from it, and I thought, there's no excuse. I'm now a season ticket holder. I love it. And I went up to Carlisle to see them. But what's brilliant about it is this is another bit of public space. And the public spaces, this is a charitable trust that owns the Dons. We won Community Club of the Year last year, right? Because of the connections we have with food banks and sort of like making sure that old people have got proper furniture and beds and stuff like that, and doing sort of computers for schools and access and diversity and getting all the sort of like it's proper community work, you know, and that's what you need now, community resilience. You need to be able to build this.
And you can see that, can't you, when you see those clubs that have got community involvement. You did a show with my friend Matt at Dulwich Hamlet the other week, didn't you? Another club where, you know, you can feel the community involvement.
It's beautiful.
Really, really nice feeling, isn't it?
And what I love about it is it's got, you go in there, it's got a big Don't Buy the Sun banner. It's got a big, you know, keep junk food out of sport, yeah, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And I love that. I love the fact that in the bar there was a big flag and it was a trans flag and
exactly,
it said, doesn't matter which side you're on. Yeah. I love the fact that the door
Everyone welcome.
Yeah. I love the fact that the door person who Dulwich Hamlet is a trans woman and I adore her. I adore her. She's so lovely.
Yeah.
Whenever I've played there, I've always got, like last time I was playing there, I said, look, I've got my niece coming. She's a little bit wobbly at the moment. So when she gets in, can you just look at her? I'll look after her, don't you? And I see her being ushered through. Do you know what I mean?
Everyone's
just so lovely there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just so lovely.
It is very
and,
nice,
and the
isn't
pitch
it?
Is it's a beaut. It's just a beaut. It's a real beaut. And I think you can see that joy of community involvement and that joy of a community space. We have loads of open days up there. Mm. You know, all sorts of people use it, all sorts of people go along to it. You know, we have an amazing women's team. We've got London, the rugby league team there, do you know what I mean? Which is really exciting. Mm. It's the only professional rugby league team in London that are playing out of, which is just great. So these are public spaces, and what we get a lot is you get the private incursion into public spaces. Mm. So if you go to somewhere like, if you go to Paddington Station, and behind Paddington Station there's a great big, along the canals there's a big public space, there's fountains, that's all privately owned. There are security guards there. They can tell you what to do, they can remove you from the area, they can kick you out, all of this kind of stuff. If you go to the City of London, if you go to Ludgate, you know, this is all privately owned property. You can be removed, you can't do some things. Outside the Stock Exchange is private. Mm. It's privately owned public space, right? So you can't. I went and did some stuff there. I did. We decided to do.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about your TV shows.
Well, we did a show about
you were doing that
called Trespass.
Yeah, exactly.
Where we found out that there's a privately owned, like the little. If you go up to Liverpool Street, there's the Royal Bank of Scotland bit, and it's got a triangle that juts out from front of it of public space, but it still belongs to the. So we actually chalked out the distance of along there, so we chalked out a 10-kilometer distance, like 5 kilometers, five yards one way, 5 meters one way, 5 meters the other way, and basically I did a 10k walk backwards, backwards and forwards.
That, yeah,
right. And we timed it, so we did that, and then we would do things like I did a walk, and I got I was dressed as Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah.
Because to celebrate, I think it's an Elizabeth Frink sculpture of the sheep in there. And so I thought I'd walk backwards and forwards to try and get, you know, the biggest, try and do a 5K walk. And we developed this thing called the Three Peaks. You know, like the Three Peaks walk that is, you know, Snowdon and Ben Nevis and Scarpa-Pell. Snowdon, Scarpa-Fell and Ben Nevis.
Yeah.
What we decided we'd do them three peaks in London, so you'd do 5k or 10k outside each one. And I got bounced. I got the security threw me off, right, to Shaun the Sheep. Was absolutely bounced. And I've got some beautiful pictures of me being bounced. So we then organised a mass trespass of Shaun the Sheep, people wearing Shaun the Sheep masks. I think it's really important to challenge those things.
Yeah.
Public space is public space. You know, we're not there by the graciousness of you. We're there because it's public. If you don't like it, fuck off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think it's really important. These things are really important.
Isn't it?
The Thames footpath is another thing, you know.
Yeah.
You can walk along it. There's bits where you're, especially on the north side, on the east, you have to leave the path and come out, walk
you
along.
You do, when there's houses along the river, isn't there?
Yeah.
You have to go
there's
back.
There's a bit where you walk along and they've got a little bit of public footpath, and there must be some kind of tax beneficiary to having the public footpath there. What they've done is they've got, we're just sitting on the turning circle, by the way, for the graveyard. You go inside the building, you have to get through the security doors, you have to go up to the security desk, and then they'll show you another door, and you can walk out onto this veranda, which is part of the Thames right. footpath.
Right.
And so what we did was we just went, oh, well, this is ours, so let's use it. So we said, everyone, meet up at Tower Bridge. And then we walked everyone around on a Sunday. It was a nice day. And I pressed the buzzer and waved at the bloke, and he nodded, opened the door, and 150 of us just came in. And we set up a comedy club on the veranda.
Yeah.
And everyone had bought sweets and food and cakes and all of that. And we just shared it all out. And then did a gig. We did gigs. Josie Long was there. Tiff Stevenson was there. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love that idea that you can play. We did a gig in a car park once. Me and Josie Long and Grace Petrie just set up a gig, let people know. Top story, car park. The idea that you might take advantage of public space. RMT, you know, going on the picket line, you know, it's brilliant. There's a public space. You get out there and you perform and you run a picket. And
yeah.
And I love going along and doing stuff there.
I thought it was always really interesting in your TV shows as well, Mark, that inevitably security guards or the police would turn up at some point yeah. and they'd be like, oh, it's Mark Thomas.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they didn't really want to kick you guys out. They kind of... I felt like they empathised with you a little bit.
There's a little bit of a little bit of, oh, please don't make me look bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there was a little bit of both.
But I think that's where humour can be good to diffuse yeah. the situation yeah. as well, can't it?
Should we wander?
Let's wander, exactly. But yeah, that show, Mark.
Because I've got to go and look after my mum in a minute.
Exactly. We'll
come up this way.
Let's go up this way. But that show, well, I was talking to Michael Cumming for one of these podcasts, and he's
a lovely chap.
Yeah, he was remembering what it was like to film that show. But I have to say, Mark, that was one of my favourite programmes when I was a teenager. I signed up to study politics at university. You're very inspirational to me, and I thought how you were blending comedy and politics was really interesting.
Well,
just making people sit up and listen.
Yeah. Well, you still want to create that. You still yeah. want to create spaces where you can play.
Yeah.
Where you can say things. As far as I'm concerned, being on stage is the place I feel happiest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I feel most me. I feel most alive. I feel most in the moment.
Well, you can tell that. And you're a natural orator, aren't you? You've got that ability. People want to listen to you.
I love being there because you haven't got an option.
Were you ever scared when you started?
Yeah, and I still am on occasion.
Yeah.
You know, I was speaking at this at the picket line, and you know, there's a van trying to get past me. You know, and yeah, there are occasions when you know, you have to. There are things that you do that you just think, oh, blimey, this could go wrong. Oh, look at that! There's a lovely dragonfly.
Oh yeah, wow,
that's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was. There are things that you do get. I think the thing was. When I first did it, you know, I'd stay awake all night worrying about what was going to happen, you know, when we were filming the telly show.
Mm.
And by the end of it, it was like my son... I remember once my son woke me up and just went, Dad, there's a missile in the front garden. And it was... Because I was the only one who could get this missile, and it was being delivered on a Sunday, so I said, I'll put it in the front. And
was that related to the arms trader?
Yeah, it was related to the arms trader. And it was just like, but it was like we went from kind of like, oh my God, can we do this, to there's a missile in the front garden, you know. And you never quite got used to it in a way.
Yeah.
My feeling was when we got to the point where we thought, oh, we can do this, then we really should stop.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. Which is, I'm quite pleased and proud of the fact that by the end of it, we just went, okay, we've had enough. We've done what we set out to do.
It worked really well. I loved the kind of punk spirit to it as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was a lot of DIY. Like,
yeah, you're having fun, you were kind of making it up on the hoof. And it's like when you were watching it, it seemed like that. Obviously, Michael had done stuff for The Word, and there was that feeling of it being a bit kind of seat of the pants, and the camera was like wobbling. And
yeah. I love Michael. He's just one of Michael was the director of the show.
He was the director of Mark Thomas Comedy Products.
He was just he's just one of the most gorgeous human beings going.
Yeah, yeah. And I talked to him a lot about Brass Eye as well, which is kind of around the same.
It's very funny because I still work with one of the researchers from the programme, and I've worked with her for now, oh God, over 20 years.
Yeah.
And we still work together on books and programs and make stuff together. And she You know, I just, I have a huge fondness and respect for the work that the team did.
Yeah.
Who I worked with. I was very lucky to work with a great team.
Well, you guys were bringing, you know, topics into the mainstream that people weren't necessarily reading about, like the Alisu Dam and like Palestine and like all these corporate kind of interests, nefarious corporate interests that are doing all these things. People weren't necessarily hearing those stories. I think a lot of the time, Mark, maybe people learn about those things for the first time from watching your program in a way that maybe they do with kind of John Oliver's show now as well in America, which is...
That's quite exciting, though. That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the great thing about stand-up. You can make it about anything you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to... There are no rules.
Yeah.
You know, there's a rule that says eventually someone has to laugh.
Yeah,
but
well, hopefully.
You know, that's about it. Now, listen, should we go out here?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll take you out this way.
Let's do it.
Because there's a couple of entrances. And this is the way back to the tube.
And so what's next for you, Mark? You've got this tour coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, which is just me being rude and sort of running around and screaming and shouting and getting people to sing songs.
Well, that sounds brilliant.
And then we're working on...
Where do I get my ticket?
A new show. There's two new shows next year. One which is a play written by Ed Edwards, which is really great, which he's written it specifically for me, and we've worked together to create it.
Yeah.
Which is about... It's a ghost story about addiction.
Oh, right.
So it's a proper bit of drama.
Oh, interesting.
And it's also about colonial violence coming home.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. And then we've got a lovely... We're looking at doing a show on children, on actually children in care.
Right.
So the state's role as parent and what's going right and what's going wrong. Yeah. So this is the High Street.
We're at Teaton Road, the High Street. So we'll wrap up here. Mark Thomas, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
That's an absolute pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed our walk around.
You stand on the cusp of every culinary delight you could ever wish for.
I can smell it as well. There's so many nice smells in the air.
You've got two of the greatest... you've got chutney and dosa down there, and then you've got duat. Duat's one of the greatest. And Lahore Karai's all right too, that's a good one. But in those markets, in the indoor markets, you've got everything. What I love is they haven't quite managed to gentrify it.
Yeah.
So you've actually got sort of like, you know... There'll be a sushi bar next to the sari material shop. And there's literally a Philippine restaurant opposite the pet shop. it's one of my great...
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing about London, isn't it? All these different things together, all these different people together. This is the joy of London.
Yeah, I think it really is. I mean, you feel like this is proper London.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I love it.
Yeah. Mark, thank you so much.
That's a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad, make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcasts from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk. And if you see me walking around in the park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hola, amigos. ¿Y qué tal? En el próximo episodio de Paquete es Colin el Capibara. Colin el Capibara es directo de Buenos Aires, Argentina. En el próximo episodio de Paquete. Ya. Hasta luego.